because Tian was fast asleep. And then that annoying sound, that oh so familiar sound that worked its way into his consciousness. And the same thoughts went through his mind every morning. Really? This can't be. Not already. So he slowly reached over, switched the alarm off, and slumped back into bed. But the dark cloud of sleep slowly approached and settled over him, and then that battle began between responsibility and weakness, the same battle every morning, and the one he usually lost, as that cloud slowly enveloped him. And then he heard the voice of God. And the voice said, "Sweetie, we have to get up." And he jerked as the clouds fled away and the ray of sunshine broke through. That was the shot he needed, and he sat up and he groaned. And this was stage one, as the body juices slowly found their way to where they should be. And he waited, and the clouds appeared again and closed in on him. And he jerked and he reached for his clothes. And stage two, he got dressed and attempted to climb aboard that day train. And stage three, the train left and headed towards the next couple of stations. Bathroom, hot drink, prayer time, bath time, breakfast, quiet time. What to read this morning? He wasn't so sure. He felt old. His back was sore. His fingers were still sensitive from the growing arthritis that was, you know, slowly taking hold. His throat was still scratchy from that flu bug that just didn't want to leave him. These things were taking longer and longer to clear up. He'd been a disciple for more than 20 years. Surely this should be easier than this. He let his mind drift a little bit. What were the old days like? And how were they different from these days? What had changed? Well, he'd got older. Most of the people he'd started his journey with weren't with him anymore. But the question was, had he grown spiritually? And what did that mean? He knew he was more grumpy. But had he become old, or had he become mature? And what is the difference? And the words from Hebrews 6 verse 1 kept repeating themselves. Therefore, leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. He pondered that for a little while. On to maturity. Don't get old. Go on to maturity. He turned towards another version of Hebrews 6 verse 1 and that read, therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. And the more he read, the more he realized with growing excitement and unease that the scripture was showing two distinct Christian trails. One was mature and the other was, what shall we call it? Staying young, even as you grew older. The one was stuck in the elementary teachings, and the other one wasn't. What were elementary teachings? Elementary. Why was that word so familiar? And then he suddenly thought, elementary school, primary school. Kind of the spiritual equivalent of becoming a Christian. You're starting off in primary school. And then he thought some more about it, and his mind started making some connections. And then he realized, you know what, as you grow up, as a human, there are two major relationships in your life. And the very first one is from parent to child. Everyone's a child, and everyone has a parent. A child is born, and is absolutely dependent on its parents. They've got to clean it. They've got to feed it on time, the right thing, the right consistency, the right temperature. Clean it when it doesn't smell so good. They've got to be there all the time and stimulate it and all the major muscle groups and all the minor muscle groups. And gosh, it's got more and more complicated. But the parent was everything to that child at the beginning. The parent was like, he thought about it, like God. And the young child had to put its life into its parents' hands because it had no choice. That was the way it was designed. It wasn't perfect. There were abuses, But as a child had no choice. And then the child grew up, and at some point it realized it had an opinion. And this opinion differed from God, its parents. This was a new and wonderful and powerful feeling that surged through its veins, and it exercised this opinion, and it did its own thing, and it felt good. And then the parents found out, and the youngster got his first hiding, and it didn't feel so good anymore because it hurt. And then the child realized that having an opinion came with consequences. But the next day, the child got over the trauma and had a few more opinions. And soon it dawned on the child that this was a long-term battle between what it wanted to do and what its parents allowed it to do. And so this great relationship battle happens every day with every parent and every child. No exception. A familiar standoff and a familiar scene. Who would win? And what does winning even mean? And so the battle began between the child's opinion and the parent's teaching. And continually we worked on reconciliation between the two. And the more he thought about it, the more he realized that this standoff, it was going to continue for a long, long time. And Dad said, "Don't play with the scissors, and you need to study and walk, don't run, and let me help you." And no, you can't sleep over. And no, you can't go to that party. And yes, you can play with this friend. And yes, we can go for ice cream. And the list went on, and it was filled with do's and don'ts. And all the time, the child felt the constant battle between its will and its parents' teaching. And sometimes it was tough, and there were tears. And it didn't make sense, and it didn't understand. And yet, years later, the child looked back, and with hindsight, it understood some things. And there were highs and low. And the child became a young adult, and the parent became older and wiser. And there would be a clash of wills continually between parent and child. And then Tian sat there a while, and he thought, but that comes to an end. And at some stage, the child leaves, and it's not dependent on his parents anymore. And then the next great relationship kicks in. And that's the relationship between God and man. And God called man to become a Christian. And Tian's heart beat a little faster as he developed this concept. He thought, it also starts from the beginning, doesn't it? Man had everything to learn from God because he knew nothing. It was like he was born again. A second birth. Like it says in John 3, verse 3, it says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And in verse 7, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Born again? What does that even mean? Beyond the obvious that it cannot be taken literally. But then Tian put the pieces together and he thought, you know, born again means you start knowing nothing, just like you were a baby. Which is a difficult concept when you're older and you actually do know something and you feel something and you think something. I've been there, I've done that, I've got the t-shirt, Tian thought. But you have to open the book again for the first time, like in elementary school. You have to constantly make a decision to renew your mind. Because the Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Because a newborn in Christ actually has no idea. The patterns the world has been showing you have been wrong. The patterns we want to continually return to are wrong. Like a young child with an opinion. It may be wrong. And only if we transform and renew. What does renew mean? Renew doesn't mean tweak. It doesn't mean clean. It doesn't mean polish. It doesn't mean go for a service. It means start again. It means new. But then, of course, as we get older as a Christian, we start having an opinion. And so we think some strange thoughts. And we think skipping church is okay. And dating non-Christians makes sense. And midweek is optional. And coming late is normal. And somebody else can serve. And I give to God what's left at the end of the month. And evangelism is for the gifted. And I'll get help with my life when I think I need it. And we have these strange thoughts for the first time. And then for the second time. And then they start becoming the way we think. The way of the elementary school. And we have to be reminded of the same lesson that our children had to learn. Just as the parent is the very personification of God as it is growing up, so the Bible is the very breath of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. Every single word comes from God, our Father, breathed by Him. Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, righteousness. How different was that to everything that we've learned up to that point? And Tian thought, what analogy can we even draw? And he thought, you know what? Maybe we can look at it like a manual for a TV. You know, the manual tells us everything we need to know how to operate that TV. And what do men do? They go straight to the TV. What do women do? They go straight to the manual. And probably that's why he thought there were more women than men in the church. Because the men had to be frustrated first before they went to the manual and read it and decided, oh, is that how you do it? Where the woman said, well, I know nothing. Let me go to the manual and see how it works. But here we have every word. We have a direct link to the mind of the Creator. And just like parents expect their children to listen to them, so God expects us to listen to Him. His words breathed by Him. And so we come to the line. When do we get it? Because both the young child and the young believer stand in front of the same line. Both started their lives, either born or born again. Both had to rely completely on those around them because they knew nothing. But they come to a point in their lives where they have an opinion. The line in the sand. For the child, on the one side, continue with what I think is best. On the other side, growing up. On the one side, staying with the elementary teachings. On the other side, moving on to maturity. What was that line? Tian thought, what's the line? What's the difference? Why does Paul exhort us to move on from elementary and on to maturity? Because many children never grow up. And many Christians don't grow up either. They remain with the elementary teachings. Spiritual babies. So what is the turning point? What is the line? What do we have to cross? And the line is obedience. Linked to trust. When we trust that our parents actually have our best interests at heart, then we obey and we start growing up. When we trust that God actually has our best interests at heart, then we obey and we can move on to maturity. And then Tian realized, the more he thought about Jesus, that even the most famous son in the world ever had to learn exactly the same lesson. He remembered that time when his folks left him behind in Nazareth. The Bible says, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus had to learn exactly the same lesson. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, the Bible says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor. Jesus was obedient to his earthly parents, and he grew. But at some point he was fully grown, and it happened again during his second important relationship between his Father God and him. And the Bible says in Hebrews 5 verse 8, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. The only human able to make a difference in the life of mankind. Every man and woman on the face of the planet throughout all of time had to learn obedience through suffering, even though he had this direct connection to his father. And Tian thought, why suffering? Gosh, the last thing I want to do is suffer to understand more about where I'm going in my Christian life. And then he realized suffering was directly linked between his will and God's word. He thought his will, his opinion, and God's word. And there's that battle, and we have to suffer to get through that, because he thought, I'm not naturally obedient. I have to trust and obey. And that's what the Christian walk is all about. One minute, I'm walking along the corridors of the world, and the next minute, I'm handing my whole life and future over to God. You don't learn that at school. You don't learn that from another book. You learn that by forgetting everything you've ever learned and starting again. Else we start with baby food. And we stay in spiritual elementary school. But we do get older. And Tian thought, man, that's just the beginning. He thought, obedience is actually even more important than knowledge. Paul even said, those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know, but whoever loves God is known by God. It's not about the knowledge. It's about obedience. On the one hand, he thought, I can read and have a quiet time and increase in knowledge. But God is looking for obedience. Even in Luke 11:26, he thought, Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. When you read it, you obey it because you trust it. God values obedience above knowledge. And when we just read it without obedience, we don't trust the contents or the one who breathed the very words into existence. Tian was almost exhausted by making all these connections. Parent to child, and at what point does a child grow up? God to man, and at what point does Christian man grow up? And a new thought struck him. You know, Paul had exhorted his readers to move on to maturity. Leave the elementary behind. And he wondered, what does an old Christian stuck in elementary school look like? It was unlikely to be a pretty picture. Gosh, that was ugly. That's just scary. He hoped he would never have to approach someone like that in his whole life. So the question is, am I stuck in elementary school, he thought, or am I moving on to maturity? But as he contemplated the difference between the two, he thought, you know what? There's at least two things that stand out. Two things, he thought, that would make a difference between those stuck and those who have moved on. And the very first one is when their opinion is challenged. What happens when an opinion is challenged? You know, it reminded him of his grandson when one day he was confronted with a loose piece of skirting that looked suspiciously like a toy. And his reaction was classic.
Leo? Did you just get caught?
No.
Yep, you got caught.
No.
Yep, no.
What is the immediate defense? No. He thought, gosh, that's just like our kids when we were growing up. No. The yes word took a while to learn. But isn't that what happens when our opinion is challenged? We argue a lot. We are filled with issues with many people. We continually have to have deep chats about this and that because we don't listen well. And we obey even less. And humility and you are not in the same building. And yet humility is the basic building block of Christian character. You know, it's one of those scriptures we all know so well, he thought. How many times have I used this scripture? Because if you're mature, you recognize it's never about the opinion. The Lord, speaking through Isaiah, said, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Just a few words from the Lord, but a lifetime of challenge for the rest of us. Not the most knowledgeable, but the most humble. Not the one who forces his opinion, but the one who's willing to let it go. Not the one who reads the most words, but the one who trembles at one word. The elementary value their opinions. The mature value their Christian character. Because it's never about the opinion. It's whether about we obey God when someone challenges it. And Tian thought back many years ago, gosh, he had to learn this lesson and it was hard. And he remembered sitting in that time with another couple and he was telling them with great pride that he had grown up in this particular way. And this was his background and this was how he was. And that's why he couldn't change or do something. And he sat back and he was like, gosh, that was a good argument. I'm sure they're persuaded. And they weren't persuaded. And they said, you know, Tian, you've reached a certain point in your life, but you've got to renew your thinking. You've got to be born again. Your background is just what brought you to this point. It doesn't define you. And Tian thought, I don't want to hear that. And Tian realized that with God, everything is possible. And he thought, what's that second thing? That second thing that defines, not defines, but really differentiates between the elementary and the mature. And he thought the second thing is deep relationships. And this was a tough one for him. Because he'd grown up an only child. He was introverted. He specifically chose work that involved no people. So he worked behind his computer most of the time. And only when forced out behind it by circumstances and lack of money did he go and see a client. But that was not his favorite bit. And his favorite bit was, leave the client behind, I'm on my way home. And he could feel the stress just release in his body. And he knew that him and his machine and life would be good again. Deep relationships. And of course, maybe that's why he struggled to share what he was really thinking. Because he didn't have any deep relationships. And then he became a Christian and things changed. Because it was all about deep relationships. He didn't want to become an old baby Christian puffed up with knowledge, thinking he'd reached some kind of pinnacle in his life and did not need any more spiritual input. That would be sad. He'd been in the church for decades. Surely he was mature enough at this point. And then with a shock, he realized, and it sent cold shivers up and down his spine, he thought of the other older men who thought exactly like he thought. And he thought, that's what an older David went through when he slept with Bathsheba. Been there, done that. Old and mature. Know what I'm doing. Great idea. Or Abraham, well into his mature years when the idea of sleeping with a servant girl seemed like a good one. Or Eli was old when he allowed his sons free reign in the temple. Even why Solomon appeared to wander away as suddenly he had hundreds of wives and concubines. And Tian realized that growing old did not mean becoming mature spiritually. And that growing up right as a Christian was critical. And the only way to get there was crossing that line of obedience. Relationships are the key principle to becoming mature. It starts with child and parent. It culminates between God and man. And both had to cross that line of obedience before they could grow. What else was more important? Without deep relationships, we start wandering away. And we will be comfortable. And we will do what seems right. And we'll think it's just us and the Lord, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But guess who's the worst judge of their character? The person in the mirror. And Tian thought, you know, it's like a boss rating himself on how good he was as a boss. Or a husband rating himself how good he was as a husband. I mean, that just sounds dumb. Why don't parents ask their teens to rate themselves on how they're doing? And give the control, say, hey, teen, just do your own thing. I'm sure you'll grow up okay. Because that's what they're thinking. We even go further back. What about a young child on his progress into adulthood? Just do your thing. And Tian thought, you know what? The only one who could look at his work and say it was good was God. The rest of us have to ask each other because we don't have a clue. He thought, that's why even in the secular world, what do people do when they got to get fit? They get a personal trainer. What happens to a boss who gets stuck in his particular ways in a company? He gets a life coach. What about a marriages that are faltering? They get counsel. House owner gets a professional to build on. A car owner gets his car serviced by someone professional. The secular world realizes it needs help. And then we come along and we become Christians. And then we stop and we think we don't need help anymore. We somehow think we become our own best teacher. Which just sounds bizarre. The Christian that doesn't mature and gets stuck in the elementary phase and doesn't get help, saying to himself, I have rated myself and I've given myself 5 stars. Needs help. And even the Bible is so clear on the maturing process. As iron sharpens iron, it says in Proverbs 27 verse 17, so one person sharpens another. And Tian thought, that sounds painful. And then he remembered back, Jesus had to suffer to become obedient. And what does the maturing Christian do? He finds himself an even tougher piece of iron. And he says, come sharpen me, brother or sister, because that's the only way that I'm going to get any help. And Tian almost felt that the older he got, the more he needed it. Because he was often inclined to think he was his own best teacher. He needed relationships that could see him better. Relationships that came along and asked questions like, so how are you doing? How are you really doing? How's the purity in your life? Have you studied the Bible lately? I missed your church last week and the week before that. How's your commitment? You seem to be habitually late. Gosh, that's disrespectful towards God. Your wife and you don't look like you're in a good spot. How's that situation in the office with you and that co-worker? How's it going with your ability to express yourself, your inner thoughts? Have you written any more journals lately? And Tian felt himself turn pale at the thought because, man, that was great advice he had gotten. And he hadn't done much about that. Real questions, real concern, real sparks, real discipline, real relationships, which can only be handled through real humility. The ones that pick up spiritual problems before they become problems. Then the iron gets sharper. Iron left on its own, especially in Cape Town, Tian thought, it just rusts away. No wonder it needs sharpening. After that, Tian shook his head. That was a lot to take in. But crossing the line to obedience was never an option. And the way to cross it is through humility and vulnerability. And then children can grow up into mature adults, and then we can grow up as Christians and move on to maturity. Thank you.